Have you ever felt that nagging sensation that something essential is missing from your life? That despite achievements, relationships, or possessions, a deeper fulfillment remains elusive? This universal human dilemma sits at the heart of our existence. We stand briefly between two great mysteries, birth and death, with the profound challenge of creating meaning during our short time here. Our lives unfold in what Jung called a short pause between two mysteries, and within this pause lies our opportunity to discover what truly matters. The journey toward meaning isn't found in external validation or cultural scripts, but in the courageous exploration of our inner landscape, where our wounds, shadows, and untapped potential reside. This journey requires us to question the stories we've been living by and ask, what am I truly here to become? Our lives unfold according to narratives we rarely consciously choose. These formative stories become our psychological operating system, silently determining our choices. Two primal existential threats shape these stories: overwhelmment, developing into avoidance, power-seeking, or compliance, and abandonment, manifesting as self-sabotage or neediness. I once worked with someone who consistently chose emotionally unavailable partners, a pattern stemming from her father's childhood absences. She had unconsciously internalized a story that love meant yearning for someone just out of reach. Our dreams reveal these hidden narratives, exposing the gap between conscious choices and deeper needs. During crucial transitions, the center cannot hold as our worldviews become exhausted. One 40-year-old dreamed a relative told her it's time to die, symbolically marking the death of her outdated self-understanding. Midlife transition involves shedding our false self, adaptive rather than authentic. The ancients distinguished between fate, circumstances we're thrown into, and destiny, what's summoned from within. When we risk exploring our authentic lives, an inner compass reveals itself precisely when needed most. Imagine investigating strange rustling in your basement. This metaphor reflects our relationship with the shadow, aspects of ourselves we'd rather not acknowledge. The shadow isn't simply evil, but anything contradicting our professed values. Our biggest shadow issue is living small, adaptive lives, walking in shoes too small because life's powers seem overwhelming. We all have shadows as carriers of the human project, with all human nature's contradictions. A positive shadow also exists, containing our best capacities, spontaneity, creativity, and passion, often buried under adaptations. Shadow manifests in four ways: remaining unconscious, projection, attributing disowned qualities to others, identification, becoming consumed by it, and confrontation, facing it when forced. Jung noted our task isn't goodness, but wholeness, making our darkness visible. What annoys you most about others often reveals your own shadow qualities. Consider where you repeatedly undermine yourself. Shadow work is daunting, yet the alternative is worse. What we deny inwardly tends to come to us externally as fate. This self-examination is our greatest gift to loved ones and society. Sin originally meant missing the mark in archery, acknowledging human fallibility rather than moral failure. The seven deadly sins reveal shadow aspects that persist across cultures, offering psychological insights into our struggles. Consider gluttony. What do humans truly hunger for? Augustine wrote, "Our heart is restless until it finds its rest in thee," suggesting our hunger is for divine connection. Our culture repeatedly forgets that obtaining what we desire is never enough. Addictions function as temporary anxiety treatment plans that briefly lower internal discord. The ancients considered Eros both the oldest deity and the youngest. Desire drives existence, while its absence signals depression. Our romantic agenda seeks to die in the other, healing primal disconnection through merging. Anger, anxiety, angst, and angina all derive from ang, meaning to constrict. When our natural being is constricted, we feel anxiety as our well-being is threatened, followed by defensive anger. Pride, hubris, means claiming powers we don't deserve, making us forget our knowledge's limits. The human psyche transcends time, allowing us to vividly recall distant memories. Everything experienced remains within us as internal narratives. Our ancestors conceptualized psychological possession as soul loss, harmful spirits taking pieces of one's soul. What remains unconscious still powerfully influences us. Beyond personal history, we inhabit cultural complexes, inherited gender roles, expectations, and behavioral patterns that shape our actions. These complexes manifest physically as stomach flutters, trembling, or chest tightness, injecting excessive energy into situations and causing disproportionate reactions. Jeffrey's case demonstrates this. After caring for his troubled mother following his father's departure, he later married an alcoholic woman and tried to rescue his adult daughter. His dream revealed this pattern, his mother's corpse transforming into his deceased wife, declaring, "I rule here," before giving him an acid, bitter kiss, signaling his compulsive rescuing behavior rooted in ancestral patterns. Perhaps most devastating of all hauntings is our unlived life, the possibilities we carry but never express. We find ourselves caught between worlds during personal crises when reliable maps fail us. Matthew Arnold described wandering between two worlds, one dead, the other powerless to be born, perfectly capturing our cultural moment where traditional truths have lost authority. Jung observed that the gods have become diseases. Though we've abandoned traditional gods, we remain possessed by these cosmic energies, now manifesting as neuroses. Earlier civilizations believed tragedy was part of divine will. Today, we expect scientific explanations for everything. As Harari noted, humans agreed to give up meaning in exchange for power, trading cosmic significance for technological control. For some, an internal compass feels threatening, causing retreat into dogmatism or addiction. For others, it offers dignity and meaning. I realized our home is our journey. There's no regression to past comfort or future salvation, only the journey itself. Finding our compass requires daily discipline, stepping back from distractions to check in with our souls, journaling about what truly touched us, and using active imagination to access ancient wisdom within. Our fundamental human problem is mortality awareness, creating an existential tension that shapes our lives, especially in modern Western civilization where religious assurance has diminished. Far from morbid, reflecting on mortality serves as a daily call to wisdom. Ancient wisdom traditions across centuries reached identical conclusions about meaningful living. Address present tasks with full energy, love those beside you, and respect life's greater mystery. Death threatens only the ego, not nature or divinity. While ego consciousness aids survival, problems arise when it overreaches upon sensing vulnerability. Life involves many symbolic deaths, attachments, and losses we navigate throughout our journey. As Yeats wrote, "Man is in love and loves what vanishes." Our psyche speaks through instinct, like animals naturally knowing when to heal or withdraw. We possess this inner guidance, but have disconnected from it through societal structures. By attending to our soul's unfinished business, we become less problematic to society while creating possibilities for others. Life becomes fascinating when you recognize meaning isn't found. It's created through facing shadows, honoring wounds, and answering your authentic self's call.